Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I've never had intro music. There's only one song, if I do karaoke, which I've maybe done twice in my life, it was Eddie Grant's Electric Avenue.
Gonna rock down to Electric Avenue, and then we take it higher.
My goodness, damn near perfect. He's a lot of fun to talk to.
Electric Avenue.
Now, here's 49ers Insider, Cam Inman.
Cam, glad you're back from a very long road trip for you and all the riders. You're finally back at home. We appreciate you slipping on into the show today. Thanks, as always, for your time. Let's just hop right into it. Was yesterday a good win, a weird win, or it doesn't matter because it's just a win?
I think it was actually a good win that they were tested pretty well, especially like kind of, you know, the early struggle, so it wasn't easy, and then you could kind of see how they responded to the adversity, and everybody was destroying Garoppolo and the offense for those first few three and outs, and then they kind of found their rhythm, and it's just, I thought that was pretty good. I mean, the defense really answered the call so well, especially with that goal line stand that, it's not going to be a blowout, but it's a hard-fought win against somebody that was having their home opener with a lot of fans, just so excited to be back in the stadium for the first time in over a year. So I think it's a good win. I mean, if you want a 42-0 shutout, then you're going to say, oh, well, that was too easy. Bring on a real challenge. That was a challenge, and so I think you needed that before you bring the Green Bay Packers in on primetime Sunday night.
So other than a sort of very cynical, for lack of a better word, sort of performance in which they did just enough to win, just often enough to win. What conclusions, if any, can you draw about this team, other than the fact that it defends pretty well?
Yeah, well, those are good questions, Ray, because it doesn't seem like the offense is quite in sync yet, other than I will say the offensive line looks really good. I will say Nick Bosa surprised me by how often he's playing. He's playing a big workload for a guy coming off an ACL, and he looks pretty darn good with his range of motion, obviously, his skill set. And then they're kind of finding their way. You know, I go back to the 2019 season when they opened that Super Bowl run with back-to-back road wins, and I don't quite get that same feel with this team. But I think this team might have a little bit even more cohesion because they've been around each other for a little bit longer. They're going to have to fight through things maybe that 2019 team didn't, because 2019 they opened 8-0. And sure, they could try to do that this year, but they got a few tough ones the next 2 weeks. I think it's a little too early to jump in conclusions on what this team is, other than I will say Jimmy Garoppolo, for everything he's been through this year, and people—it's amazing to me how people can interpret it two different ways. It's half glass or glass half full or half empty. And I thought Garoppolo was half full yesterday. The way he responded after starting in a 6 of 12 funk, and then he finished 14 of 16. And I know he's not throwing deep, but when you're looking at Jimmy Garoppolo as a quarterback, it's these three words: it's read, step, throw. I mean, it's going to come out quick. And it's going to be where it needs to be most of the time. And the fact that he has no interceptions through two games, I think that's really big.
Doesn't it feel like we're setting the bar a little bit low for the quarterback of a team that's expected to be a Super Bowl contender if just not throwing any interceptions through 2 weeks is the bar? And look, I understand they won. But I guess what I'm wondering is, if you don't trust your starter to throw it more than 7 yards in the air, why is he your starter?
Well, that's how the offense is set up. And Jimmy Garoppolo is best when he's throwing quick passes. And that's kind of like when I interviewed Drew Brees a few weeks ago, he said that's something that Jimmy Garoppolo took away from watching a lot of Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers film, is how to get the ball out quick. So are you going to get the ball out quick and throw it 60 yards downfield when you don't have a Olympic-caliber sprinting wide receiver going after it? That's just the way this is set up. And remember, this is kind of was set up as a run-oriented offense. With all the running backs getting hurt the last 2 weeks, I'd be a little bit more curious if they're going to air it out a little bit more and see what Jimmy can do. And I think they have confidence in him. I mean, obviously, they didn't pull him out for Trey Lance one snap yesterday. So Kyle Shanahan's not displeased.
Cam Inman here on 95.7 The Game. Again, we don't want to make this all about Jimmy and what he isn't. But what I'm expecting is the every corner of Shanahan's playbook to materialize in a football game. And it feels like Jimmy is kept around because he can do the calculus that the rookie is unable to do. And yet it looks like Jimmy has got the bunny slope of offense handed to him, where it's one read throws, screens, slants, and out routes and comebacks, which if you were looking to integrate a young quarterback, you'd start with that. And it feels like Jimmy's end point would be Trey Lance's starting point.
Yeah, but they don't want to play the rookie right now. I mean, they don't need to play the rookie right now, and it's just we get caught up in having to rush these young quarterbacks in, and if you have an established veteran that knows your scheme, so let me put it this way. At the end of that first half on the really big pivotal offensive drive when they went 90-whatever yards after the goal line stand, they used clock management so well where you're going, wow, they haven't used any timeouts. What are they doing? Well, because Jimmy knew how to run the offense, knew how to run that four-minute drill. And if you go back in a training camp, and even like the practices at Levi's Stadium where fans were in, I believe the fans were in, but Jimmy executed that way better than Trey Lance could. And it's because he knows the system and what plays go where for the clock management. So, I mean,
all due respect
to Jimmy's defender, but I mean that's how it looks to me, and it just Trey's not ready for that.
Right. It also looks to me like if you've had Madden as long as I have on PlayStation, you understand clock management, when to call timeouts, and that doesn't impress me. Like starting NFL quarterback, even backup NFL quarterback, should be well versed in all concepts of clock management.
Well, so what's your problem? They won the game. I don't quite understand what the whole hubbubaloo is.
I guess maybe this is, and problem isn't quite the right word, because you're right. They won the game, and in part they won the game because Jimmy Garoppolo made big throws and big sneak conversions when they needed them. So he wasn't terrible, not by any stretch. I guess the question is, it sure seems to me like you're going to need more from the quarterback position to score enough to beat the really good teams in this league. And if the attitude is, well, as long as we win, we're good, then that seems to me like you're grading exclusively on results that don't necessarily reflect the totality of the performance, and you're ultimately just waiting until you lose a few times to make a change, if in fact a change needs to be made. And that strikes me as a weird way to approach it from someone who is as high level a football thinker as Kyle Shanahan.
I think it's like you just said. I mean, it's about winning, and they go back to 2019 in the playoffs, and they won by running the ball. And it's all about, like, Kyle is so good as an offensive coach to figure out the mismatches. That's how he does it. And, you know, they're not going to play really good defenses this season. If you look at their schedule, there's no, like, big powerhouse defense that's going to face them. I mean, Green Bay might be okay, but I don't think they're any good, honestly. The Bears have a decent defense, and they're going to be coming in a couple of weeks, I believe. Seattle is not doing well. And the Niners themselves have the good defense. So then that reverts back to 2019, where you're the head coach. You have a really good defense. You have a great running back scheme, I'll say, that you hope every running back that doesn't get hurt can play in. And then you have veteran guys all throughout that offensive lineup now, with Kittle, Debo, Ayuk, Trent Sherfield, a really good offensive line, and Juszczyk, and it's set up in a way that it doesn't have to all be on this quarterback. And I think that's what everybody has to realize. Everybody wants a sexy toy and a Patrick Mahomes that can do everything and be the MVP, be a Tom Brady. Well, right now they have a winning quarterback, and that's always been Jimmy Garoppolo's motto when he's healthy, and right now he's healthy.
Based on the fact that Green Bay couldn't tackle any of the running backs that the Saints had a week ago,
right?
What do you need to see tonight against the Lions that would make you think that the 49ers would have to open their offense up next week?
Yeah, because, I mean, the Lions, it's interesting. The Lions have a decent running back, and they have a really good tight end, right? Wide receivers, not so much. And the Niners just played them, so they're going to be able to kind of, you know, maybe mirror themselves, see how that did. And, you know, defensively, whenever Green Bay comes in, if everybody talks about their defensive line and how well they can be, what trouble they might be in. If that's the case, that's what I'd probably look more at, Ray, is just what kind of havoc can they cause there where they clog the running lanes? Because Philly did a really good job of that, and Philly has a really good defensive line. Well, they did until Brandon Graham popped his Achilles when George Kittle threw him aside on a block. And then it kind of opened up for the Niners a little bit. So I would just say, as usual, just look at the line and see how they play.
So looking at the other side of the Niners and sort of the reverse of that, granted, the final stats on run defense don't look great because you gave up 82 yards on 10 carries to the quarterback. But in terms of running plays, I thought the line held up much better than it did against Detroit. And Javon Kinlaw played an awful lot of snaps for a guy coming off a bum knee. Did you get a sense of what the team felt like after Kinlaw's first performance? What were the reviews like of him?
Well, I think everybody's actually really excited that he was able to block a field goal attempt and was able to jump up on that bad knee, right? And he blocked a field goal attempt, and he had some fun talking about it afterwards in the press conference. And he's very defiant, saying that he's healthy. But Shanahan and everybody has to be pretty cautious with him because they don't want to have a setback because he is pretty good in there. DJ Jones is always an under-the-radar guy on the interior. He played well at Kentavious Street. So they did do better. Now, what I'll say also about the run defense is it's not there yet. And Fred Warner, you can see, knows that. Fred doesn't seem like he's been happy these first two games. He's the captain. He wants accountability. There were missed tackles out there. Al Shire had a couple missed tackles, made a couple plays too. But they have to find a way to replace Dre Greenlaw in that interior linebacker too, which is Aziz's spot. And so that's going to take an adjustment here, but that's kind of what football's all about.
Cam Inman, 95.7 The Game. Is Trenton Cannon the starting running back from here on out? I mean, like, obviously, we're waiting for Trey Sermon to clear concussion protocols, and maybe Mitchell's shoulder is better by game day, but we know that we're not going to be seeing, Raheem Mostert, obviously, Jamichael Hasty with a high ankle sprain. That's already being measured in weeks and time. They brought in Duke Johnson. They're going to work out Lamar Miller and TJ Yeldon. What is this team's solution at running back, considering they need a new one every six plays?
Well, I mean, when you first said Trenton, I thought we were going to be talking about something on my journey over the last 10 days.
Right.
So many different states. And I'm like, oh, did I go to New Jersey? I don't remember going to New Jersey. Well, right now, Elijah Mitchell's day-to-day with this shoulder stinger I think he had. So my guess is he'd still be the starter. Hasty's going to be out probably a month because of that high ankle sprain. And then you kind of just hope that somebody else they can plug in there. And they'll sign one of these guys that they're working out. I believe they're working out tomorrow. I don't know if they worked out today already. I just flew in actually about an hour ago. So we'll find out more as the week goes along. But whoever's back there, they're going to go into a system that they're going to have pretty darn good blockers in front of them. And my guess is it'll be Mitchell. I don't think it's anything too serious. But I am a little concerned just about Trey Sermon because that was such a severe helmet-to-helmet hit he got and just the aftermath of watching him on that grass face first there. That's harrowing. And, you know, the Niners, John York, their owner, Dr. John York, He's like the head of their the NFL's health and safety committee, I believe. And so anytime there's a concussion like this, I think they may take a little bit more cautious route, because Mosley missed, I believe, like 2.5 games last year with a concussion. So I can't imagine they'd rush Trey Sermon back from it. And it's not really their choice. It's got to go through independent consultations, too.
How much, then, can you say, I know this about the 49ers that will remain true at least until week 9?
I know nothing about the 49ers. Because I could maybe take that to week 10. No, I would say that they have a very capable offensive line, that they have a very threatening pass rush, and that they have underrated defensive backs with some veterans in Jimmy Ward and Jaquaski Tart, and this rookie Diamador Lenore. He looks like he's going to be some fun to watch.
He's a player. That kid's a player.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is with him, I mean, he grew up in L.A., and Richard Sherman's, like, buddy was, like, his coach, and he knew Sherman, and there's this background to him where he's got this confidence, where the resiliency that the cornerback's got to know, look, I may get burned, but they're going to do it on my terms, and I'll bounce back because I'm that good. And he has that, and that's why he leapt up the depth chart so well ahead of Ambry Thomas, their third-round pick.
And he did get burned, and he bounced back great yesterday, too. You mentioned Kittle and Ayuk being out there a lot, and I think we can put the doghouse thing to bed, given that Ayuk played a ton of snaps yesterday, but neither Kittle nor Ayuk is being targeted much. Do you see that as just the game plan, or are they not getting open? Is Garoppolo not seeing them? What do you account the lower usage for those guys compared to last year?
Yeah, I mean, Ayuk only had a 6-yard catch yesterday. He had only 2 targets at him, so I don't know if he's totally out of the doghouse yet. He did get more action, started the game ahead of Trent Sherfield, so that's good. I think right now Garoppolo was like, Debo is so hot right now. He's got to look at Debo Samuel. He's the NFL's leading receiver in receiving yardage, and he's made a couple really big plays in each game. Kittle's making huge plays as a blocker, and as an all-pro tight end, he wants that all-encompassing aspect of tight endship, to be able to block somebody to the ground and laugh at him. And when the ball's thrown to him, he catches it. I mean, he caught all 4 of his targets that Jimmy threw at him. That's almost like on a need-to-do basis. Like, oh, I know I can go to George if I need to go to George, but there's Debo going across the middle wide open. I'm going to hit Debo for a play, and eventually I can look to my left, and, oh, there's a Juwan Jennings. Never seen him out here before. Let's throw him a touchdown. So that's, I think, they want to be unpredictable and not have everybody not have everybody looking at Kittle getting the ball. But, yeah, I mean, you would think Ayuk gets more action and Sherfield, and that's the one position right now where they are healthy at with targets, and they might need that against the Green Bay Packers if they don't have anybody to carry the ball.
If there weren't a couple personal fouls after back-to-back fumbles, I think this game goes much differently. Lenore knew exactly that Rager had stepped out of bounds. Had that, he not made himself ineligible, it's 10-0 Philadelphia right there. A 91-yard pass is involved in a non-scoring drive,
right,
which does not feel like it's the norm and at any level of football. So it was a good win. I also think they got away with a little football murder on that afternoon. But it doesn't matter as long as you get that win. The price of poker, I think, goes up against Aaron Rodgers next week if the Green Bay Packers get their feet underneath them tonight. So all eyes on that. Thank you very much. We appreciate all the checking in you did on, you know, from Detroit to West Virginia to Philadelphia. We always appreciate your time, Cam. Thanks very much.
Okay, guys. Thanks for having me. I'll talk to you later.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.